You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
All right. So I want us to discuss the developments that were set off by the discovery of this Omicron variant after our scientists and government announced that it's a variant of concern. And look, since that announcement, this panic that's been created around the world, resulting in many countries implementing travel bans throughout Southern African countries. The president was quite firm yesterday in responding to these travel bans, calling them unscientific. He said they're disappointing and unjustified. And some of the countries that have imposed these travel restrictions include the UK, the US, I think Canada as well, Turkey, Australia, the UAE, Thailand, Brazil, etc. So I want us to speak to the Department of International Relations about what discussions have been taking place behind the scenes. I know there's movement around British Airways and whether or not they'll be resuming flights to South Africa. I know the minister, Naledi Pandor, has had some discussions with some of her counterparts. So let's bring in Clayson Monyela now, who is the head of public diplomacy at the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Clayson, thank you for making time. Good morning.
My brother Clement, I trust you well.
I'm good. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us. So the president was firm yesterday, Clayson, in characterizing these travel bans. He says this is a clear and completely unjustified departure from commitments countries made at the G20 in Rome. What commitments are these as far as travel restrictions are concerned?
Now, the president is absolutely spot on. And this is politics and not science. And we thought that countries understood that there's a need for collaboration and partnership in the management of this global pandemic. We need to share expertise. So excellent science, as demonstrated by South Africa, should be applauded and not punished. So at the G20, there was a general agreement that this tendency of countries closing borders and imposing travel restrictions on other countries is not helpful, because the only thing that you get when you do this is that you sabotage the economies of other countries, particularly developing countries. In the case of South Africa right now, you know, we are entering the holiday period in South Africa. And one of the potential catalysts for the recovery of our economy is tourism. The UK, for example, remains the number one source of tourist arrivals in South Africa. So the minute you impose a travel ban, you're tampering with that space. In the case of South Africa. So that's why the president was quite firm in making a call that all these countries that have imposed travel bans on Southern Africa, including South Africa, need to urgently reverse these decisions. And what we are doing as a department through Minister Naledi Pandor is that she's talking to all her counterparts in all of these countries to say this is unacceptable, it's unjustified, it's unscientific, and needs to be reversed immediately.
So what discussions have taken place already or will still take place between the minister and her counterparts? I saw a tweet earlier from Secretary Antony Blinken saying that he has had a discussion with the minister.
No. There's been several discussions between Minister Pandor and her counterparts, Secretary of State in the US, her counterpart in the UK, and in other capitals, particularly in Europe. It's very disappointing, by the way, I need to mention this, Clement, but we've now seen about three or four African countries that have joined this train of imposing travel restrictions, unheard of, unacceptable from African countries. It's very regrettable and very unfortunate. But I was making the point that there's ongoing engagement. Even the president, by the way, has had some engagement. I know he spoke to the prime minister of the United Kingdom. So we are certainly not leaving this matter lying down, because we insist that these unjustified and unwarranted bans have to be lifted. Our people, I mean, when you talk in the context of a holiday period, families are directly affected. You know, families have had to endure long periods of lockdowns, so we were looking forward to reuniting with their family members. This is in addition to the travel and tourism industry and business, two-way business that's been affected.
Yeah, and this emergence of Omicron has, I suppose, to be a wake-up call that vaccine inequality can be allowed to continue. And this is a battle that, as government and other developing countries, you've been fighting. But are we winning that battle? Because the reality is, until everyone is vaccinated, then we're all of us not safe. We must expect more variants to be discovered. So instead of prohibiting travel, you'd imagine that they would help, especially these countries that reacted so immediately. They would help these developing countries with access to vaccines.
That is absolutely correct. That is actually the key issue that needs to be addressed. This vaccine inequality, we call it vaccine apartheid, where developing countries, in particular the African continent, is being locked out. You would recall that South Africa and India have been leading the charge at the WTO, making a call for the intellectual property rights from people that have developed these vaccines to be lifted, even if it's temporarily, to then allow developing and poor countries to manufacture these vaccines in their own backyard and vaccinate their population. It's only when we've vaccinated everyone that everyone, including these countries that are closing their borders, will be safe. No one is safe until everyone is vaccinated. So as opposed to travel bans, the key issue that needs to be addressed is access to affordable vaccines for the population of the entire countries of the world.
Yeah, and is it true that some countries have imposed travel restrictions on southern African, you know, countries, including those that have not detected this variant?
Yeah, if you look at the list of countries that have been included in this blanket ban of southern Africa, there are countries where there has not been any detection of this Omicron variant. So you then have to ask the question, on what basis are you doing this? Is this just the bias and discrimination against African countries that we've gotten used to, that is in fact not new? This is why we are characterizing this as politics and not science.
Yeah.
And in fact, going beyond that to say, it could be economic sabotage, because as I suggest, if you restrict travel from these countries, you are tampering with a potential revenue earner, which is tourism.
And as a South African government, are you still satisfied with the mechanisms in place to prevent the virus from spreading? I mean, before flying, you take the test. Even when you're flying into South Africa, you have to produce a negative test, which has been really the global norm when it comes to traveling internationally. Are you still satisfied with these mechanisms? Are you looking at somehow strengthening some of them?
Look, I mean, South Africa is home to some of the best scientists in the world. In fact, this is why our genomic sequencing has been able to detect this new variant even ahead of some of these countries that are developed, precisely because we've got the best scientific community resident here in South Africa. So we're quite confident that the health protocols that are in place in terms of managing this global pandemic compares with the best in the world at standard, and we would hope that all countries are observing the same protocols, where you get a test before you come to South Africa, whether you're vaccinated or not. And then we still encourage the wearing of masks, social distancing, and clean hygiene, sanitizing your hands, etc. So I think those are in place and will continue to be observed. And government, even the president last night, was emphasizing that we need to remind our people to continue to observe all these protocols that are in place.
Yeah, and just lastly, as it stands, there are no plans for any travel bans between, countries in Southern Africa and just broadly on the continent.
We've just received a notification from Mauritius that says they are banning flights from South Africa into Mauritius, which is regrettable. You know, and I need to say this, I have a tendency of taking off my diplomatic hat. I suppose government pays me to do that from time to time. You know, some of these African countries that have gone this route is really disappointing. I'll say this to your listeners. You know, South Africa has just made quite a substantive and significant donation to help some of these countries with vaccines. We've made a contribution to a scheme, a fund that the president initiated when he was chair of the African Union. And some of these countries who are doing this are beneficiaries of that program. In fact, one of these countries was subjected to a global blacklisting because they were suspected of being a tax haven. They came and lobbied South Africa to assist them and use our influential voice in global affairs to get them off that list of being blacklisted. And we successfully did that. And to see them doing some of these things against a fellow African country is really disappointing. But we will be taking it up. We are engaging all of them with a view to persuading them to reverse this.
All right. Clayson, thank you so much for making time. Clayson Munyela is the head of public diplomacy at the Department of International Relations and Corporations. I thought we should bring him to understand the behind-the-scenes discussions that have been taking place. He's confirming that they will be taking up that decision that Mauritius has taken. They want Mauritius to reverse that decision. Let's see what's going to happen. As it stands, really no indications that in Southern Africa, or even broadly on the continent, there's going to be these travel bans being implemented. But Mauritius has already done so. But our government is saying they'll take up that country on this decision. And discussions are continuing with other counterparts in other countries that have implemented this ban. Clayson says the president spoke to Boris Johnson. He's also confirming that Naledi Pandor, the minister, has spoken to her US counterpart. Those discussions behind the scenes continuing as South Africa tries to get these countries to reverse these decisions. It's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
I'm going to take your calls, by the way, on 011-883-0702 if you want to react to that discussion on WhatsApp, 072-702-1702. I want us to touch on now on vaccine mandates. Government establishing this task team on mandatory vaccination, and it's considering making vaccinations compulsory for specific activities and locations. The president said this is so complex and difficult, right? But he says if we don't address it as a matter of urgency, we'll continue to be vulnerable and continue to suffer new waves of infection. So what government has done is this task team, I think it's got this week to consult, and then they will have to send a report to the president, and a decision will have to be taken on whether vaccinations are being made mandatory or not. I spoke to the commissioner at the South African Human Rights Commission, Bongani Majola, just around, whether it would be constitutionally sound, and just some of the basic questions around mandatory vaccines, because in all likelihood, that's where we are headed. Commissioner Majola, thank you so much for making time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So we have already started seeing a growing number of companies and universities introducing compulsory vaccination policies. As the Human Rights Commission, if it's found that it's necessary, right, to so almost compel citizens to get vaccinated, would it be constitutionally sound?
Yes, we have issued a statement before saying that the Constitution actually allows for the limitation of rights, and that provided there is a law of general application, it would be constitutional for the government to require compulsory vaccination. But with regard to employers, I think there is also another dispensation which is the consolidated conditions issued by the Minister of Employment and Labour, in which he does compel employers to do risk assessments, and if they find people who would be at risk of contracting or even getting seriously ill from the COVID virus, then to identify those people for compulsory vaccination. And we have taken the view that in the employment sector, this would be a law of general application.
Mm. And just speak to us about the differences between the two, because I use the word compel, you know, the citizens to get vaccinated. But when it's mandatory, help us understand what the difference would be then, when you have mandatory vaccinations versus compulsory vaccinations.
Well, personally, I don't see a difference between it, between the two, because I think that it's just a matter of terminology. Because if I do not want you to get into a particular entity, mm-hmm. and I say, unless you are vaccinated, you cannot come in, it is as good as compelling you, because if you have no other option, then you find yourself compelled to take the vaccine in order to be able to qualify to get into that entity.
Mm-hmm. Can government enforce private institutions to implement the mandatory vaccinations should they decide this is the way to go?
Yes, because the government is not just the government of public institutions, it's a government of everybody, and the laws passed by parliament, they bind everybody, including members of parliament. So private institutions cannot then say, listen, we are not going to be bound by a law of general application which is passed by parliament.
Yeah.
Or government, yes.
Thank you so much for making time. Bongani Majola is the chairperson at the South African Human Rights Commission.